When God gives us something free, He paid for it first. He paid for it with the blood of Jesus. He bought us. He bought salvation. He bought healing. He bought deliverance. He bought everything for us. Grace and salvation is free. But free doesn't mean it's cheap. Free means somebody paid for it. His name is Jesus. Sin is also not free. If you live in this life long enough, you realize that nothing is free. Everything that is free comes at a cost. You pay for it in some way, whether directly or indirectly. Even if you walk along the road and you thought the road is free, no, your taxes pay for the road. Somebody else taxes paying the tax paid for that road. Everything costs something. And you think about the air that you breathe. Well, most of the air we breathe is aircon air. It causes something, right? And we have to clean up the air. Sin is not free. The devil doesn't pay for it. The devil says, take it on credit. So, because it's on credit, and it's not explained to us, it was like giving an ability to spend to a little child who doesn't know that in future you got to pay for it. And so we quickly go and take it. We take whatever we want. We enter into temptation. And we fall into temptation. And we don't understand the devil works differently from God. He tried to duplicate, but in some areas he just does it differently because of his nature. He doesn't pay for it for us. We have to pay for it one day. Or down the right line, in our descendants, somebody will pay for the wrongs. It doesn't come free. They are wages. But He gets us to spend. He gets us to use our time to spend it on. Takes our time away. Then He tempts us to use our money to enter into those temptations. He tempts in every way. Use our thought life and everything. Our energy, our strength, our concentration, our intellect, everything He makes us focus on that. And one day He comes, knocking on your door. Who is that? The devil. What do you want with me? I come to collect the payment. But I don't have anything. Well, I have your soul. I have your body. I have this. So the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. And so he does it differently. There's nothing free. But thank God for the blood. The blood sets us free from the penalty of sin. The penalty. And the penalty refers to the wages of sin. And I'm surprised that Christians are still talking about the curse coming on their life. And when they talk about how the curse has to be broken, how is it broken? The blood of the Lamb. My only question is how far and how deep has the blood gone? Maybe the blood has only cleansed their living room. Then their bedroom is cursed. So it's not a question of how powerful the charm or the curse that was upon you. It's a question of how powerful the blood was applied to you. And how deep it was applied to you. Whether it has removed, eradicated totally the penalty of sin. You say, I want to have this revelation so that I can be free from every curse. Yes. Look at the cross. If you can see your wages on the cross, I don't care which doctor. I mean, which doctor, right? Which doctor? Right? I mean, all the doctors that I know are very good fellows. So, no. Which doctor or which put a curse on you? It doesn't matter anymore. If you see the curse has gone to the cross and the blood has come to you. And you're no more linked to your old nature. You're linked to the seed of Abraham. So we need to know the power of the blood to save us from the penalty. I don't know why Christians are afraid of the penalty of sin. They say, "Aiyo, I sin, what do I do now?" Now, talking about the penalty of sin is not talking about restitution. Where you can make restitution, you make restitution. Restitution is a voluntary act from you. But the penalty, the broken law is there. The blood has taken care. The other thing that the blood has done, it has removed us from guilt. Even though people are free from penalties, they can still have guilt in their life. All these things are described not in 1 John but in the book of Hebrews. We just touched on it briefly before coming back because of 1 John 1:9. To understand that fullness, we would have to look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Well, let me read also a portion of it from chapter 9 to verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What are dead works? They are the remnants. You see, everything that we have done in life is done through a nature in us. The works that we do are only branches. The root of it is in our nature, in our heart and in our soul. A thief steals because his nature has been turned and influenced until he has chosen to steal. Everyone who does any action has made a choice in their heart. That choice that they make is the stem and the root of dead works. Their action are their sins, but the sin nature has produced the sin. Just as a hawk or pig wants to go to the mud because they are naturally pigs, so the sin in our lives draws us to perform sins. Plural. So there is a root of sin called dead works. The works that don't produce life. And where is it? Deep on our inside. We are freed by the blood from the penalty of sin. We are freed by the blood from condemnation, from a bad conscience, from dead works. In other words, the blood doesn't just wash us from our sins and the penalty of our sins. The blood washes deep into our conscience. And it says, the word here in verse 14, the Greek word is the word purge. And it means to scrub and remove totally until there's no more trace of that root inside. The thing I ask Christians is, how far does the forgiveness of the blood reach your life? And you know, in many Christians, what they receive, you know what they receive? When they receive forgiveness of sins, 1 John 1:9, they thought they only receive a pardon. That's all they thought they received. They were pardoned. A pardon is external, it's just a legal framework. A pardon is something legal. But this goes deeper than legality. I mean, you have become an outlaw. Now you're pardoned, so you're restored. That's on the legal framework. But this is more than a legal framework. This is talking about washing machine. Purging. And in many Christians' lives, when they confess their sin, they thought, "I received a pardon." God is not just interested in pardoning you, although He does. I beg your pardon. He's not interested in just that. God wants to pull out that root out of our life. And the key is the blood. A lot of Christians have not had the blood applied into these areas of their life. Because they only conceive that the blood can bring a pardon. That's all. They don't realize the blood is more powerful than that. Number one, it removes the penalty. Number two, it removes from our lives condemnation or dead works or sin nature itself. In chapter 10, which we wanted to read earlier, verse 22, Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So he's talking about our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. What is an evil conscience? A conscience that is full of condemnation. The blood of the Lamb has not touched it yet. And you need to receive that forgiveness to touch into the very core of your heart. And that is talking about what I call the blood is able to free us from the penalty of sin. It's able to free us from the power of sin. That's a very deep thought. Sin will have no power on your life if there is no root of sin in you. If there is no magnetic force in your heart for sin, sin has no power over you. Now these are all very deep truths that 1 John talked about. Later when you reach 1 John 3, you understand what we're talking about. That he that is born of God does not sin. Talks about very deep word that has gone on. But it starts first with light. It starts first with understanding forgiveness and the cleansing of the blood, which many Christians don't understand. They see the blood has pardoned them. They don't understand the blood sets them free from the penalty of sin. Sets them free from the power of sin. And how does it set free from the power of sin? By taking the root of sin out of your life. See, many Christians don't hate sin. They only hate the results of sin. They know what sin can do to people. They know the penalty that sin brings about. But they don't hate sin. They hate the penalty of sin. My friends, when the blood of Jesus touches your life, you will hate sin too. Like Jesus hated it in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. It says here in verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. When God touched on our inner core of our being, you will be able to say like what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, Satan have nothing in me. Nothing in me. And what is that kind of life like? Wherever you walk, your mind is focused on God. It's a tremendous realm to move into. The blood of the Lamb sets us free from the penalty of sin, sets us free from the power of sin. And the blood of the Lamb, in a very miraculous way, is able to set us free from the presence of that oppressiveness of sin. It purifies. And theologians have talked about it all the time in terms of the second coming. We say in the second coming of Jesus, that we will be saved, we have been saved from the penalty of sin when Jesus first came, died on the cross. And now, while we are being perfected, we are being saved from the power of sin. And it says, when Jesus Christ comes again, we shall be saved from the presence of sin. There is a truth in the eschatological statement, in the sense that one day we will be taken out of the world. Now we are in the world. In the world, and the world is still sinful. But many people have never applied that to the blood. And they don't realize that we are also talking about the blood. The blood ceases from the and freezes on the penalty from the of sin, from the power of sin. And there is not an absolute degree, but there is a degree of the blood setting you free from that presence. What do you mean by presence? Is it every time you go to any place that has sin, you can feel it even when nobody is sinning? I mean, when I go to a hotel room, I could pick up some of the things that are being done there.